Hello, on a very comfortable and enjoyable day here on Sunday. Welcome to another edition of Butcher on Sports. Simply Butcher's here. And as always, thanks for tuning in here. Give you some sports news that you can't get enough of, and maybe some that you can't. I'll try my best here. Let's get on with the show here, and let me get this out of the way first and foremost here, because we got a kind of very impact show here. Let me give congratulations to the girls winners of the state basketball championship in Division One, West Bloomfield; Division Two, Detroit Edison; Division Three, Ypsilanti Arbor Prep; and Division Four, Fowler. Congratulations to those particular institutions or schools there who are winners there, and also everyone who took participation in the girls' basketball championship run in the state of Michigan there. The boys are next this upcoming Saturday, so we got a lot to talk about, which we will go over the semifinals on Wednesday. Edition of Butcher on Sports there. I see E-Course is in the quarterfinals. Oh, boy. But some others as well. Bellevue is still there. Some good schools, okay, as I glance around there in the quarters there. So we'll allow that to break down. And Wednesday, again, we'll have our semifinal participants and we'll talk about it at that point in time. Wednesday, Butch on Sports, yes. The number 11 Michigan Wolverines are in the Sweet 16 for the fifth consecutive year. Yes, indeed. NCAA's men's tournament, they won by a final score of 76-68 over number three ranked in their division of the championship, Tennessee, in the Midwest region there. I'm just happy for them. And I talked about them too, you know, with that record. I was kind of afraid they would not get in, but they did, and they made it work here. Congratulations to the University of Michigan, one of the Sweet 16. They head down to San Antonio. Oh, boy. Michigan State will not do the same thing, as they gave Duke everything they could handle on Sunday. However, the number two-seeded Blue Devils survived a 85-76 victory over the number seven-seeded Michigan State Spartans. They also advanced to the Sweet 16. Congratulations to them. Yes. Duke still moves on here. One of the finals that I can give you right now that might be a shocker, maybe not. Number 10, Creighton. They knocked off second seed Iowa Hawkeyes 64-62 to advance to the Sweet 16. That happened in Greensboro on Saturday. A whole lot of the St. Pete's is in. They beat up on the Giants to get into Sweet 16. That's a happy-go-lucky day. I do got scores right now here, by the way. Here, Notre Dame and Texas Tech is playing 36-39. That's Texas Tech leading. University of Miami, and I do believe Auburn is playing. It's 21-14, and the leader at this point in time is Miami. And also, did I got anything else? No, I don't have anything else here right now here. We'll keep it going. If we get anything else before the show's over, boom, 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 we'll give it to you indeed. Also, University of Michigan, congratulations to their hockey team. They beat up on Minnesota for the title. That final score was number two Michigan 4, number one Minnesota 3. That was a barn burner of a game there. But congratulations to Michigan. I'm quite sure they'll be going to the Frozen Four or somewhere, some type of continuance of their season there. Detroit Pistons lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers last night, 113-109. Surprising? No. And also, yes, the Red Wings had a 2-0 lead going in the third period, and by golly, Seattle, the Kraken, they show who the real octopus is. They scored 4 goals in the third period there, and they win by a final score of 4-2. That was last night, indeed. Late last night, if you didn't stay up to watch that. I so happened to be up and attentive, I'll put it that way here. The Detroit Lions, they did some re-signing. Their wide receiver, Caleb Raymond, to a contract extension through 2023. They also re-signed offensive linebacker, outside linebacker, Charles Harris, to a contract extension through 2023. The Lions also signed unrestricted free agent, DJ Chalk. He is from Jacksonville. He should do something well-received to a receiving team of the Detroit Lions that's young but needs some guidance, I would say, there in how they do things. So Lions are still building up their goodies. And by the way, the Lions announced their 2022 coaching staff with Dan Campbell, the head coach, Duke Staley, assistant head coach and running back, Ben Johnson, offensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator, David Flip, special team coordinator, Wayne Blair, defensive quality coach, and Wayne Blair, this is his first year. Mark Brunet, he's the quarterback coach, David Corrales, the defensive assistant, outside linebacker coach. Cameron Davis is the assistant defensive line coach. This is his first year. Brian Duker, defensive assistant. Tanner Enstrong, the tight end passing game coordinator. Hank Fraley, the offensive line coach. Jeff Markins, the assistant special teams coach. John Morton, offensive senior offensive assistant, Steve Oliver, offensive quality control, Odante Pennell is the WCF minority coach assistantship there, so he's still with the team there. Aubrey Pleasant is the defensive back, pass game coordinator, Antoine L. Randall L. is the wide receivers coach, Seth Ryan, the assistant wide receiver coach, Kelvin Shepard, the linebackers coach. I have more, boys and girls. Keep on. Hang on in there. Stephen Thomas, defensive quality control coach. Todd Walsh, defensive line coach. Mike Clark, director of sports performance. Jill Catanza, the director of sports science. Josh Schuler, the head strength and conditioning coach. Morris Henry, the assistant strength and conditioning coach. Kevin Anderson, the chief of staff, head coach administration. That ends the Lions coaching staff. Yes, I'm trying to get it through my brain, too. Let's move on to the Detroit Tigers, who they have announced and agreed to terms with right-handed pitcher Michael Pineda on a 1-year. Pineda's been around with the Yankees, with the Seattle Mariners, with the Minnesota Twins. And hopefully, if he can get some of the spunk back he once had at once upon a time, he might be a fine for the Detroit Tigers. We will wait and see. And by the way, the Detroit Tigers rallied to beat the New York Yankees by a score of 8-7 on Sunday afternoon at George M. Steinbrenner Field, evening their record to 1-1-1 in the Grapefruit League play in spring training. They had a tie. Yes, they did. It looked pretty nasty in the eighth inning. The Tigers went in that particular inning down by a significant amount of runs there. 7-4 was it going into the ninth inning. Tigers were trailing, but they scored 4 runs in that ninth inning to get it together. USA Today Sports, they finally gave me some news that I was looking for a couple of days ago. Joe Buck is officially the new voice of Monday Night Football for ESPN. He opened up on the departure from Fox. And he said they had their reasons. Lorenzo Ray is, U.S. Today had reported this particular story a couple of days ago, and I kind of piggybacked on it and got some information from it. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman combination is the longest acting NFL broadcasting booth pairing, and it won so many awards, and they're going to bring some spunk to ESPN, because for the last 3 or 4 years, they've been trying to get together on who they're going to have in the booth, and they've made humongous amount of changes. Hopefully this will stabilize their particular booth presence for Monday Night Football, and hopefully they'll do a lot of Monday Night Football, not only on ESPN, but on ABC. That's what's going to improve ESPN's marketing here when it comes down to watching football games on Monday night. I'm telling you just like that there. They have called together 6 Super Bowls. How was ESPN was able to sign both to multi-year deals. That happened on this past Wednesday. They was able to pry away the dude from Fox Sports. In the interview with Sports Illustrated, Buck opened up about his departure from the network and his number one choice to go back to Fox. However, that was not in the cards when Troy Aikman went away, which, by the way, he the one opted out of his contract, which basically he had 1 year on, but went on to ESPN. And so that was the deal. Plain and simple. Oh, well. A good friend is no longer with us, and I consider this man a very good friend. Years I lived in Portland, I got to hear this guy when he was doing reporting for the Seattle Seahawks, okay? And he would give a lot of good, juicy information about the team that maybe a lot of people, you know, didn't get grasped to. But he was very good at it. And I'm talking about John Clayton. He was one of the first insiders to bring fans closer to the game that they love so much, especially in Seattle, where they love their football indeed there. For 5 decades, he covered the league with the endless energy, the professionalism. He's earned a lot of tremendous respect, mainly from me and a lot of other journalists, indeed, on what's more important. And he gave him the important information about the particular. And he was one that I know for a fact they would hold back things just to get everything really right. He loved Seattle. He loved where he lived. He loved, did not like to always have to travel, but during the course of the year when training camp came, he was gung-ho bound when it came down to the West Coast and getting great, great, great information for football indeed there. He's going to be missed very, very dearly. John Clayton, when he passed away, was 67 years old. And I'm going to miss him. I know his sister Amy very well. It's very tough indeed for a lot of us there who know John Clayton, who's been in this business so long. And he helped me when I moved to the Detroit market from where I came from the Portland, Oregon market, and getting kind of established on what was going on, because I was not in sync with what the Lions and a lot of other football teams in the area was doing, you know, professionally wise there until I moved here. I knew all the West Coast stuff there. But he got me on board then, and he was always, I was always thankful for it. John Clayton, you will be missed. And that ends this edition of Butcher on Sports on the Sunday edition there. I'm quite sure we'll talk more about March Madness and then some tomorrow on the Game Sports Show. That's from 6 to 8 o'clock with Scott Nason, Dave McCaig, and myself, and a lot of guests and special thoughts and opinions there that you just can't get enough of there. That's going to be from 6 to 8 o'clock on News Talk 1400, Sault Ste. Marie. You can check out Butcher on Sports always on Facebook. Always on Facebook. And also, you can go to the home court, Butcher on Sports at Podomatic.com. Type in SimpleButtoo.Podomatic.com. You can also go to the Game Sports Show's family of shows as well, because I'm posted on their website as well there, and that's on the gatesportshow.podbean.com, okay? You can go there and get the goodies there, and some of the other shows, indeed, that, you know, part of that great family. Hey, I hope you have a great, great beginning of the week. Enjoy the weather tomorrow because the rain is coming. It is spring. I smell it in the air, and hopefully you do too.